Wednesday.
With respect.
Yes, thank you for saying
with
that.
With respect.
And sorry, I thought we had a little more time left.
No, that's all right.
The funeral.
They are wrapping up their coverage, the network coverage of the funeral of President George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. And
how did he get two middle names?
I don't know many
people with two middle names.
Trying to think if I do.
And more letter questions for you. Why does J.T. Pritzker?
J.B. Pritzker?
Yes. What's his wife? She has initials too. How can you just go by initials?
I don't know the answers to any of your questions. I don't know. I wish I knew. What are her initials?
Hang on. Let me find J.B. Pritzker.
Yeah.
Because he mentioned something about his wife, and it was like KT or something.
Oh. Is he married to singer KT Oslin?
No.
I enjoy her work. I don't know. Maybe the Pritzker family is in such a hurry that they don't have time to say full names. They just go with initials.
Well, it's Mary Catherine Munster.
Oh, I didn't know she was one of the Munsters. That's so cool.
Munster like the cheese.
Oh. Still cool, but not as
Munster,
cool.
MK Munster. That's what they call her.
MK Munster sounds like a place you'd go after a softball game. That was a great game. Are you going to MK Munster's? Yeah, I'll see you there.
And what does JB stand for? These initial things confuse me, and you're looking at George H.W. Bush, and a lot of people are saying George Jr. speaking, and he's not really a junior because he's got a different name. He's just George Walker. He's missing the H.
So that disqualifies him from being
called a junior? Doesn't it have to be the exact same name for it to be junior?
I don't think so. I think you can have a different middle name, I think.
No, because I know that my father-in-law's name is James. My husband's name is James, but they have the middle names are different.
Yeah.
So he's not a junior because he's a different person.
That. I just thought if you had the same first name, I didn't know you had to go first and middle name.
I think, because then it's junior or the second.
Yeah.
And then it can be carried on. And why would it be? Like the eighth.
Do you remember a baseball player played for the Cardinals, Junior Felix?
No.
I always wondered if his father's name was Senior Felix, because that would make perfect sense, wouldn't it? If you're going to name your kid Junior, your name should be Senior. On that note, I will also say this. I don't understand the practice of naming your child after yourself.
Well, I
don't get that at all.
I know.
What a nice self-tribute. I'll name my child after myself. All it does is going to cause confusion.
Well, somebody started it, and then you don't want to be the one to break the chain.
Oh, I'd be the first one to break it, because you don't want every guy in the family to have the same name.
Oh, call Jimmy in the McInerney clan, and Jimmy or John, and everybody turns around.
Yeah. I don't get that at all.
Well, we did not follow
suit. Thousand names. Pick a name that hasn't been chosen. It'd be like, I'm going to dress my child like myself every day for the rest of his life. Why would you do that? Pick a new name. Even if it's the greatest name in the world, go, oh, but it's taken. Whatever you think the greatest name is, if you have it, name your child something else. I don't understand the practice of naming
your kid. Well, you can use it as a middle name. That happens a lot.
If you want to do that, that's passable.
Why is it passable? That's very common.
It's so stuck up to name a kid after yourself.
No, it isn't. You spawned that child.
But that's all you need to do. Don't name it after yourself. That's crazy.
We didn't, but I know a lot of people do.
Why?
Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's crazy.
Stupid.
Oh,
it's
but
ridiculous.
Somebody we Michael's middle name is after Jim's granddaddy.
Do that all day long. Name it after somebody else that you want to pay tribute to.
Oh, but not yourself.
Pay tribute to yourself that way? That's selfish.
And Dylan has the same middle name as Jim.
Yeah.
It was also a great uncle's name. It's
That's
a family
fine.
Name.
That's, yeah. Do that. Name my kids after myself. Or do what George Foreman did, name every child after yourself.
Who else did?
Take it to the extreme.
Yesterday we were talking about Dean Martin.
Dean Martin named his
Dino.
Kids Dina, Dino, and Martini. What a weird name for a kid. I don't get it.
I'm trying to figure out how to use junior, senior, and first and second, because I thought it had to be exactly
maybe.
The
I don't
same.
Know.
in order for it to be Junior.
In Terry's family, her dad named one of her brothers after himself, and her mom named one of the daughters after herself.
This is going to sound so sexist, and it's weird coming from a woman, but I think it's weird. Like, didn't the Sinatras, didn't they name a daughter after... Isn't what's Frank's Barbara? Isn't there
his? He married a woman named Barbara.
Okay,
but
who
I don't
was
think
his first one? Because I thought Tina.
What was his? I can't remember what Frank's.
Because
first
I think
wife's
it's weird
is.
To name a child after. I don't know. It's just I guess commonplace. We're used to men naming kids after themselves, but women not. And I find it.
It's done with guys way more often than with girls.
I don't like it with the girls.
I don't like it with either. Pick a new name. That one's taken.
I don't make judgment of other people's. Nah. So here's the deal. If you have Barnabas Ludwig Johnson, and they have a son, this is an
By the
example.
Way, call in if you're a winner, Barnabas Ludwig Johnson. You just won a tremendous prize package.
This is from
Barnabas Ludwig Johnson.
Schmidgen.com. Oh. I don't know. But this is what I thought. So Barnabas Ludwig Johnson has a baby and names
and
the baby.
And its head popped off. What a sad story that is.
And has a baby named Barnabas Ludwig Johnson, then that would be Senior and Junior.
You now, don't have to call me Barnabas Ludwig Johnson Jr. You can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay.
This is not a Senior-Junior situation when you have someone named Beavis Winston Purple, who names their child Beavis Wilford Purple. It's not the same, so it's not a Junior-Senior situation.
So first name and middle name
it has to be exactly
must be the same. What if they're spelled differently?
Not the same.
Spelling must be the same, pronunciation must be the same, or you're not a junior.
Right, and in order to get the second and the third, if you have Barnabas Ludwig Johnson, he has a baby and names it Barnabas Ludwig Johnson, that would be junior until Barnabas Ludwig Johnson the third is born, then you can start using first, second, third, fourth, and so on and so forth.
It has to be three in succession.
Yes.
What if you skip a generation?
Then there, I don't think
it doesn't.
I don't
it doesn't pick
do
up. It must be continuous.
And you could use William Wayne left the first if you would like to start using that.
No,
because there is no other.
No, it's for the best. The line dies off with me. But I was named after a great grandfather, same first name, same middle name. But I'm
you're not a junior, because
and even if I was, I would pay to have it removed. I don't want to be a junior. I don't want to be a senior. I want to be a sophomore.
What about a peewee?
If I could have that name, if I could have that attached to the end of my name, I would take it. Or maybe Esquire, because I think that's
Esquire's cool.
That sounds good.
Bill and Ted, right?
Yeah, they have Esquire.
Both of them, or just Ted?
Oh, I think just Ted, right?
Yes.
Yeah, just Ted has Esquire. Also, when I got mail as a kid, it would say Master William Leff.
Isn't that funny?
Master. I'm four. I'm not a master of anything.
But yeah, you're not a mister, you're a master. And then the little girls would get Miss instead of Mrs.
Right.
But Master to me seemed just...
A little much for a four-year-old to carry.
Master William?
Like I'm a land baron or something. I'm just four. I'm eating a popsicle. I don't have time to be a master.
What kind of mail did you get addressed like that? Like greeting cards?
Mostly bills.
Who was
my parents put all of our utilities in my name.
You had to pay less?
Yeah. Billy, you got to pay the utility bill.
Who was the family member that sent you a card and then signed first and last name? Or put your
my
first and last
father,
name?
My father.
So your maternal grandfather?
Yeah. Whenever there was a Christmas card or a birthday card to me, it said, Dear Bill Leff. How warm is that?
At least it wasn't Master Leff.
First and last name. And my mom, like, she would try to justify it. Well, he, you know, he gives gifts to a lot of, he's got a lot of grandchildren. Like, I'm the only one named Bill. If he sees Bill, he's not going to be, well, who's this? He'll know it's me.
Yeah, that's
first and last name. Every birthday gift, every Christmas gift.
There has been something that, I don't know if you printed this a day or so ago from GQ, but I'm very bothered by this. There's a thing that said bootcut jeans are making a comeback.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you, bootcut jeans made a comeback like 8 to 10 years ago?
They've been around for quite, the resurgence was about then, right? About 10 years ago?
Yeah, because women had bootcut jeans. God, Bill, this has been... a good 5 for sure, if mm-hmm. not 7 years. Because mm-hmm. it's a very flattering silhouette when you wear a boot cut. Because if you have heavier thighs, it just kind of balances. It brings the eye down, so you see the little flare at the bottom.
Right.
It's just they're very flattering on each and every body type. And
but how do they look? I wear, more days than not, I wear tennis shoes. Does that work with tennis shoes?
Yes.
Yeah?
They do work better with boots. Both kids, but like the Levi's 527 boot cuts, those are the only things Michael wears, and he has like a Fry harness boot, and they look perfect with it. But if he's wearing a gym shoe,
it doesn't flare
bell bottom.
Although I have to say, twice in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I have seen women wear, I guess, pants that are flared out like almost
giant.
To the 70s
yeah.
degree of like a bell.
But the leg part is skinny, and then you see it really flare out at the bottom.
Yeah, like around the knee.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's very straight and normal, and then it just totally flares out like a bell, honestly. And it really makes you stop and take notice because you go, wow, I thought that was over, but here it is again.
The jeans, the boot cut, the jeans taper at the knee like your regular modern fit denim, but then they flare out at the bottom of the leg. And the reason it's like that, I mean, there's a lot of people wearing skinny jeans these days.
Yeah.
You have, you're not wearing skinny jeans, but you have definitely changed your jean type over the years.
I was told, not just by you and other staff members here, but by my loved ones, by my family, that it was time to upgrade. So I went and bought 3 pairs of,
Are they
more
like
fashionable jeans?
Yeah, because they have like slim cut. They have straight and
Mine's
slim.
I have waffle cut. Got them at Portillo's. They're great. They smell like cheese.
Waffle cut is Chick-fil-A.
Oh, is Chick-fil-A the ones who have waffle cut?
Portillo's crinkle cut.
Crinkle cut. That's what I have.
You
crinkle cut jeans.
I can't. Don't
iron,
obviously.
If I gain even a third of an ounce, I'm in trouble.
But the bootcut jean was made to literally accommodate a boot so you could take your pants off without taking your boots off.
That seems strange.
Well, it just...
You can take your pants off but leave your boots on?
Well...
How can you do that?
I don't know. If you're taking your pants off and you want to leave your shoes on, I don't know if that's why they were made, but that's what a bootcut allows.
The other night, you know, it's as you know, it's gotten brutally cold here the last couple of days, right? So I go to play tennis, and I have on, of course, tennis shorts, but then over it, I put on a pair of
sweatpants,
right? Which I hardly ever wear.
I've never seen you in them.
It was very cold that night.
Very George Costanza of you.
But then at the tennis court one year, this is Monday night, as I'm taking them off, that thing that happens when you're a kid and you go, well, this will never happen to me as an adult. I'm too smart for that. I can get these on over the shoe. I can keep the shoes on, and I was stuck. I'm walking around.
Yep.
I can't get my pants off.
If you had boot cut sweatpants, which they make. I'm not even kidding.
I'm going to start wearing tennis boots instead of tennis shoes. That would be better.
Well, I just know that Eagle Outfitters, American Eagle Outfitters, has a boot cut. That's what Dylan prefers. Michael's a Levi man all around. But they are just an amazingly flattering look.
Uh-huh.
On anyone,
just from the shape, from the way it's shaped. That's why it works.
From at the very bottom, it just flares out a little bit.
Just enough,
and
to accommodate a boot. But you're saying tennis shoes also work. And I wear mucklucks a lot of times. You see,
they would totally work with a muckluck.
That's what I want.
In fact, sometimes they, instead of calling them a boot cut, they call them a muckluck cut.
A muckluck cut. That's what I'll ask for.
I had to be very careful there.
You were so dancing on the edge.
I know.
You were so dancing on the edge.
Well, we're ready for them, and they're here, and they're happening.
Good. They did go. There was a time where they were. I don't know if were they ever 100% out of style. They still kind of existed.
Yeah.
You just didn't see them very often.
No, they went away, and then all of a sudden they made a resurgence. And you mentioned the bell bottoms that you're seeing. I mean, it's weird. You look back at the 70s clothes, and you think, oh my God, they really weren't that cool.
Right.
But the longer you get away from them, the cooler they become. Because even the 80s stuff, I lived through the 80s, and I loved being in the 80s. I had my head shaved on one side and put pink in it. I just was such a poser. I just liked the look of the 80s.
Yeah.
And now it's funny because you see, like, leggings and ankle boots coming back. I didn't think they would come back.
But mostly by people that didn't live through it the first time.
Right.
Right.
But I think the farther away you get from it,
right,
the more it's appealing to you.
Starting probably not this week, but next week, I'm going to wear a zoot suit in here. I have a collection of them that I hardly ever wear. So starting Monday, I'm going to start wearing zoot suits. They're going to be very big again. People love zoot suits.
I don't even know what a zoot, like a gangster would wear it.
It's like
double-breasted.
How do I best describe it? Think about a gangster from the 1920s into the 30s.
With that rat-a-tat-tat
very
comb.
Flashy. Yeah. Gun. So like a derby hat would accomplish that look alongside of the zoot suit, an oversized tie. Everything's a little bigger than it needs to be.
A little baggy.
Yeah.
But then kind of tapers at the ankle.
I don't know. I'm having lunch with David Byrne today, and he's going to help me pick something out.
From Talking Heads.
Yeah. He wore, that suit wasn't just a zoot suit. That was like a super zoot suit.
Yeah, that was just
big. That was like 15 sizes too big for him.
Yeah, but that is the look I went for in the 80s, because I would go to Salvation Army and Goodwill. There weren't very many Goodwills back then. Now, thankfully, there
are. They're everywhere now.
But I would go look for these old men's jackets.
Oh.
And I would wear them with a black miniskirt and black leggings.
Oh.
And I liked that big David Byrne look.
Yeah.
It was very popular in the 80s. And then there was a dress I found at one of the thrift shops that was very almost 40s. It was sleeveless and it was a sheath dress and had like a ruffle on the bottom, but very form-fitting.
That could definitely work now.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, it was totally from the 40s. The date was on it. I can't even remember the name of the store that was on it.
Hmm.
But that's what I mean. It's like all of a sudden that became really cool to me in the 80s.
Yeah.
And now the 70s clothes are coming back.
There was a girl who used to work in a shop at Woodfield at Urban Outfitters. And I only go to Woodfield at Christmas time. My wife and I always, like, one night out of the Christmas shopping season, we end up at Woodfield's. So 3 years in a row, we saw her at Urban Outfitters. And she was wearing clothes from the 40s. Like, her hair was done in the 1940s, her look, her makeup was kind of in the 1940s.
Say, I'm dressed in the 40s, see? Did she talk like that?
She talked normally, and I'm thinking, boy, if you're gonna live in the 40s, you should live in the 40s. But I thought, I wonder at what point in her life she decided, because I'm into that stuff too, but I don't dress that way, but I like that kind of an atmosphere. But at what point did she say, from now on, I'm going to dress that way. I'm going to do my makeup that way. That's going to be my look. Because it really throws you when you, because this is, we live in modern day.
We do.
She's living from a long time ago. So you can't help but notice it. It's not business as usual because she's dressed like the 1940s.
And have you seen her on more than one occasion? So does
the last year or two, she's not been there. So
just a phase.
I think she works somewhere else.
Oh.
Somewhere, hopefully, where they still allow people to dress like it's the 1940s. Because I wonder what kind of a meeting that would be.
But people seem to flip-flop styles and, you know,
that's a dramatic one.
Look at Jasmine, our producer. She comes in with a different hairstyle.
Almost every day.
Yeah, I mean, you totally change your look. People do that. Sometimes they'll do, like, you know, the cat eyes with the eyeliner.
I did that one time, and you told me it looked stupid, so I will never do it again.
I was just
I love Julie Newmar. It was Julie Newmar's birth week.
You can love her, but don't be her. Is that what I told you?
Those were your words of advice, and I've heated them. H-E-A-T-E-D.
Right, not H-E-A-T-E-D.
I simmered them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Speaking
with some warm milk that I put in a cat bowl.
Bill Leff Unleashed is what I like to call this bonus hour. Do you like pickles?
No.
Are you a pickle guy?
No, never.
Not even on a hamburger?
Never.
You will never have a pickle?
Sometimes they'll accidentally leave one on a White Castle and I'll tolerate it, but I wouldn't go out of my way, ever. That's a weird
you
food.
You are so picky.
It's a strange food. The
pickle is not. I love pickles. Jasmine, you don't like pickles either?
No.
They're awful.
No.
Ryan Burrow's a big pickle guy.
Can I just tell you, between Bill, you, and you, Jasmine, you two are the pickiest eaters I've ever met in my life.
But we're not starving. Are we starving,
well,
Jess?
Well, you shouldn't.
No, I'm not starving.
No, we know what good food is.
You know what you like.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can't believe it.
There was a kid in my grade school that every day in his lunchbox, he had a container of pickle juice, and he would drink that like it was orange soda. Pickle juice.
I put that in my Bloody Marys, but that is a little weird. But pickles are really good for you. If you love pickles, you'll be happy to know that they can help improve your mental and physical health. Was this kid mentally and physically healthy?
Yeah, dynamo. Like an Adonis.
There was a study done that examined how pickles and other fermented foods affect the mind, and researchers found that pickles and other fermented foods can reduce anxiety symptoms.
Hmm.
If you're feeling stressed out, reach for a pickle. That's what he said.
Wow.
Pickles also have probiotics.
Jasmine's hairstyle just changed. When you said that, her hairstyle changed.
Pickles also have probiotics in them, which I knew that because they're
too.
Fermented.
Right.
And that's really good for your gut. That's why they can help improve your digestive health. But researchers have concluded that a healthier digestive system then can lead to a healthier mind. This, in turn, can reduce anxiety-fueled thoughts.
Hmm. You're saving lives is what you're doing right now.
I like a good pickle.
Who in TV history had that name, Pickles?
Well, currently, Mr. Pickles is the Jim Carrey role in Kidding.
Yeah.
And Pickles was on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, who was he or she?
That was somebody's wife.
Buddy Sorrell's
wife. Yes,
Pickles,
that was
Pickles Sorrell.
Yes.
The seldomly shown Pickles Sorrell.
Played by whom?
I think two actresses played the role of Pickles Sorrell. Not simultaneously. That'd be weird.
And there was, of course, Tommy Pickles from...
Dill
Pickles. From the Rugrats.
Right. And Christina Pickles was an actress. She was on...
not Murphy Brown, but...
St. Elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, a little pickle hunk from you, even though you don't like them.
This is our salute to President George H.W. Bush. It's
also
a strange...
So
what a strip. Pickles was his nickname in the war. Did you know that about him?
No.
Strange salute today. What a strange salute. All right, we'll take a break. Judy Pilak is off today.
She is.
Ryan Burrow.
He is.
The pickle-loving Ryan Burrow will be in to share pickle holiday recipes.
Can I tell you the most fun word in the entire English language to say?
What?
Pickle-lily. I don't say relish. I purposely say pickle-lily.
She was married to Herman Munster in TV history. Pickle-lily Munster. All right. In a little while, Ryan Burrow will come by and regale you with stories from the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Speak of the Ryan Burrow, Wendy. Look who's here.
You were?
Yeah, we were just a moment ago, Ryan.
I thought you were talking pickles.
The legend is that you love them.
I do. I like pickles a lot.
Yeah?
I do.
Dill?
My father does not like pickles. My father doesn't even like cucumbers.
Neither do I. I think if you like one, you automatically like the
other,
I think.
Do you like mushrooms?
Yes,
very
much.
Do you like olives?
Black olives only, never green.
I like everything.
You like it all?
Okay. And that's not true because Dylan, my son, is going to be 16 next week, and he was always that take the pickle off the the hamburger guy.
Yep.
And loved cucumbers.
Really?
And now all of a sudden he has graduated from the ketchup only to everything, including pickles on a burger.
What happened?
He grew up.
His taste buds just came alive.
You have not grown up yet.
Not yet.
I used to hate tomatoes, and now, whatever.
I don't like them at all.
If there's a tomato on there, I'll eat it.
I have tried so unsuccessfully in my life to impress upon whoever I'm ordering food from, no tomatoes, not even near it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it.
But you like tomato sauce and ketchup, don't you?
There is a difference.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I love
tomatoes. I always tell my kids, I say, you know, French fries are not potatoes.
Right.
Apple pie is not an apple.
Right.
You know, and I have a feeling that's kind of the same way with tomatoes,
with ketchup,
right?
Yeah, it is. It's no question. All right. You know what? Oh, thank you, Ryan, by the way. And you're free
original
to stay.
Six.
Original six. Ryan Burrow, original six, everybody. Toward the end of the speech that George Bush Jr. made about his dad at his ceremony, he got very emotional right at the end. And I thought to myself, having done that at my mom's service and having been to many other services for people that I know and care about and love, that's kind of when it hits you, is in that last minute or two where you realize you're getting through the whole speech, you're saying nice things about the person, about their life, and how much you'll miss them. And it's in that last minute or two when you realize, wow, this is real. We're saying goodbye.
Sure.
This is the end. That's when it kind of takes a bite out of you, and it did today with him.
I just got the full transcript of the W remarks in those last two graphs. Well, Dad, we're going to remember you for exactly that and much more, and we're going to miss you. Your decency, sincerity, and kind soul will stay with us forever. So through our tears, let us know the blessings of knowing and loving you, a great and noble man, the best father a son or daughter could ask. And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again.
Wow.
Applause.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what else makes me sad during these things is hopefully I have been a good enough mom where my kids are going to speak greatly of me when I go away. That's all I want is to have done my best.
Yeah.
And to see this great testament to what a wonderful father he was.
Yeah.
It just makes you want to be a better person. It's so hard being a parent. No one wrote the rule book on that. I know Dr. Spock did.
Right. Dr. Spock wrote a couple books about it.
Yeah, but there's still...
Dr. Lendon Smith also wrote a couple books.
Yeah, there was someone else, too. And it's like, until you're, like, doing it and you just love your kids and try your best every day, that's really all you can do.
Can
you guys flash back, though, to 1992 and imagine this... As how George H.W. Bush was going to be remembered. I mean,
yeah.
You know, a one-term president, right? Very right. unpopular because of the economy, kind yeah. of the tail end there. Had been right. made fun of for not really understanding, you know, how to work a grocery store. Remember, he got ripped on for not understanding how to pay for groceries.
Oh, that's right.
And, you know, mocking and having problems with The Simpsons, which was right. like one of the most popular shows at the time. And
yeah.
somehow in that span, you know, yeah. 25 years, it's you know, he's looked on as one of the best statesmen we've ever had.
Yeah, it's strange the way things turned out that way.
I was in Berlin and I walked past a bust of George H.W. Bush. I don't
really?
Think we have any busts of George H.W. Bush outside of College Station,
right.
you know. Actually, there is a George H.W. Bush statue in his hometown of Houston.
Oh, there is?
But yeah, walking through Berlin, and I'm like, wow,
there's
a
That's
huge
wild.
Well, it's because the Berlin
sense.
Wall, you know, I mean,
yes.
he helps. I mean, he is very important to them. And I thought it was kind of funny at the time because we just kind of think of him as a, you
right.
know, the guy that was in between Reagan and Clinton.
Right.
And, you know, he's celebrated.
You know, the other part. Oh, sorry, Whitney, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I didn't really agree with his policies. I didn't vote for him. I didn't want him to be president. But, you know, you still respect the man that he was. Same with George W. I did not vote for him. I was not a fan of his political
right.
world. But he seemed like a genuinely
sure.
nice man. And again, you have to respect a former president of the United States of America.
I think it's really funny that the two Bushes, the parents, George H.W. and Barbara, neither of them with us right now, in an interview that I saw a little over a year ago, they were talking, I want to say it was 60 Minutes. I might be wrong, but I think it was 60 Minutes.
I think
Minutes,
you're right. I think I saw this.
Where they talked to them about the probability of George Jr. being president. I guess I have to stop saying Jr., right? It's
George W.
Bush. Mm-hmm. And not Jeb Bush. And both of them were extremely candid and said that it shocks them that
sure.
it played out that way. That in their heads, it made so much more sense for Jeb to be the president and not George.
Yeah.
So honest about it.
Yeah.
Like usually a parent will cover that up to any detail that they need to say, oh, no, we're proud of all of our kids. But you're shocked. Think about how we feel.
Barbara always told it how it was, too, from all the conversations.
Yeah.
She wouldn't let anything hang.
Yeah.
She seemed cold, not in a bad way, but she seemed like, you know, all business.
A little more, yeah, I know.
What kind
you mean,
of
harder.
Harsh.
Yeah.
She butted heads, too, with a lot of political leaders in the state of Texas. So,
did she,
I mean, if you didn't get along with the Bushes, if you didn't have Barbara's blessing, you
problem.
Know, it was a real problem.
The other thing about the ceremony, the service where George W. spoke and got very emotional in that last minute or so. And how can you not? You know, you're recounting that last conversation between him and his father and that they exchanged the fact that they loved each other, which is not only assumed, how could it be otherwise? But
sure.
there it was. So I said that's when it gets you is you're making those closing remarks. The other time it gets you is when you're realizing, and you're seeing the casket. You're not seeing your loved one inside the casket. You're seeing the coffin being moved away. But I see people crumble at that moment, too, where you just go, this is the last remnant of that person that I'll ever.
It's the end, man.
It's the end of the end. Yeah.
And that process, too, I'm sure also, you know, it's one thing when you've got everyone there, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's watching and everyone's consoling you. But when it's all over and everyone goes home and you realize
this is it. This is the new normal.
It's over. Yeah.
And according to CBS News, Dana Carvey and President George H.W. Bush really formed a friendship. they did on SNL Saturday night a tribute with Dana Carvey, you know, not gonna do it. And then you have President Bush going, I don't know what this not got that is. I mean, it was really
was
sweet.
Yeah.
And they maintained a friendship. Mr. Bush and his comedic foil forged a perhaps unexpected friendship. It started after Mr. Bush lost his bid for re-election in 1992. Then President Bush invited Dana Carvey to the White House as a pick-me-up for the staff.
Funny.
And Carvey says, I was staying in the Lincoln bedroom last night, and I couldn't resist picking up the phone. I called up the Secret Service as the president. Feel like going jogging tonight in the nude. His impressions were comedy gold, so memorable that Mr. Bush himself had to join in on the fun. Mr. Bush's grace and generosity were vividly on display as he recounted a phone call to Carvey. He said, I hope I've never crossed the line, and I knew exactly what he meant, and as far as I'm concerned, he never has. The fact that we can laugh at each other is a very fundamental thing, said Bush. And then in April, Carvey recounted his 25-year friendship with the Bushes and how times have coarsened. They didn't demonize the other side. You know, it was just a different time back then. And upon Mr. Bush's death, Carvey wrote, when I think of those times, what I remember most is how hard we would laugh. I will miss my friend.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that sweet?
So nice.
Do you think that George W. Bush and Will Ferrell will have any ill
They had
feeling?
A little
I
thing
think there
together,
was
didn't
something.
They?
Yeah.
Now,
I
Tina
do.
Fey and Sarah Palin.
Well, they had to be cordial to each other on an episode of SNL where Sarah Palin showed up. Mm-hmm. So there was...
Gee, are you kidding? Sarah loved the attention. That was probably so flattering.
Do you think they're
going to
forge a friendship? Is this a different scenario because maybe Tina Fey's star is a little brighter than Sarah Palin's, at least at this point right now? It's not as though if Sarah Palin was... If she had won, they had won, then maybe...
Right.
You know, maybe it would kind of alter the relationship a little bit.
I think it's got to be odd if there's somebody on the national stage, I want to say making light of you. I know, you know, depending on how you view these impressions, because they say it's the most sincere form of flattery that impression is. So on Saturday Night Live, it kind of runs the gamut. I've heard so many people say that what makes Alec Baldwin's portrayal different of Donald Trump different from others
he's
just being mean. There's something to that, but in any caricature, what they're doing is they're taking the obvious and they're magnifying the obvious.
Sure.
They're finding points that are noticeable about a person. And Trump's is always that kind of sour glum, kind of sour face that he's got. And that's what Alec Baldwin is doing, you know.
But Alec Baldwin has made it clear that he does not stand with this president.
Doesn't like him at all.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if Tina Fey or Will Ferrell ever came out specifically and said anything against the people who they were.
I don't think they did. I don't remember it. Oh, actually... No, I take that back. Tina Fey has said a thing or two about Sarah Palin.
Yes, not in a favorable light.
Not in a favorable light. No.
And George W. Bush was on one of the Jimmys last year.
Fallon, one of them.
And he forgave Will Ferrell. Any American president should know they're going to spend most of their time in office being mocked on Saturday Night Live, which, I'm sorry, President Trump should realize. I mean, that was...
Right.
He liked being teased before he became president. He really didn't care when people kind of made fun of him. But George W. Bush seems to have a great sense of humor about Will Ferrell's famous impression.
Strategery.
On Jimmy Kimmel Live. He said, it doesn't bother me at all. When asked if the impressions bothered him, he recounted a story about how Ferrell's impression was so good, he even thought he had said some of the lines from it. I had dinner with Lorne Michaels, the head of Saturday Night Live, and he said, I put a great speechwriter on you. He came up with strategery, Bush said, referencing one of Ferrell's most famous fake Bush malapropisms. And I said, wait a minute, I said strategery. And he said, no. Oh, you didn't say that. He's like, I damn sure said strategery.
That's very funny.
That is. And I mean, I know it was a different time, but I just like to believe that we can get to that time again. We have to be able to. The country was in turmoil. It got better. It's in turmoil again. Won't it get better? Are we just screwed? Why do you both just look at me blankly?
Because I don't know what I'd love to say. Yeah, absolutely. It's just a phase, but it seems to be getting worse and not better, and I don't know what it would take to turn things around. I honestly don't.
I think we're all just splintered off into our own little communities now.
I think
the web has done that to us. I think marketing has done that to us. I mean, the world that I live in is different than the world you live in, just based on the marketing I'm seeing, the people who I'm seeing online, the interactions I'm
having. Online decides what stories to give you.
Yeah.
The powers that be within your computer figure out you clicked on a story like this and this, so we're only going to give you stories like that, and the rest, you're not going to be interested, and we're not even going to bother you with it. That makes a difference.
And so if you're in Massachusetts or you're in Georgia, your view of the world is completely different, and it's getting even more splintered and splintered and splintered. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Fix it, Ryan.
I just don't
care. Fix it,
original
Ryan.
Six.
Fix it by Christmas. Just
need
original
another 10 minutes. Yeah, original six. Now I'm trying to think who was the George, or I'm sorry, who was the Bill Clinton person from SNL? Was
Daryl Hammond for
Daryl
a while?
Hammond did it great. Yeah.
And then didn't somebody else come in and do it?
Phil Hartman.
No, somebody after.
Oh, Phil Hartman was the one who was eating the Big Macs, right?
Yeah,
when he
the
was
restaurant.
Doing the jogging. This is, what was he trying to explain after or something like that?
Yeah.
And so when Phil Hartman passed away, that's when Daryl started doing it. Wasn't there someone else?
Those are the two I remember.
And Daryl started doing Donald Trump, too.
Oh, he did.
He
probably
better.
Did the most accurate Donald Trump, but I think right now they wanted star power, which is why they went with Alec Baldwin doing Donald Trump, and they wanted it to be more caricature than accurate.
Sure.
You know?
It is caricature.
It's better for comedy reasons to make it more caricature.
Was there a Reagan?
Oh, yeah. That would have been Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman was Reagan.
And I think Joe Piscopo was the first, I think, to play Reagan on Saturday Night.
Don't even utter those words.
The comedy genius that is Joe Piscopo.
And then there was Aykroyd, Jimmy
Carter,
with
absolutely.
A mustache still though.
Yeah.
He never shaved. I don't know if they tried to
like
put powder on it.
They did the Cesar Romero when he was the Joker and still had a mustache.
Yeah, they put makeup over it or something, but he still had the mustache.
He did in the early days of SNL one of the more famous political scenes where it was a radio call-in show, and he's Jimmy Carter, and they called in and asked. The most outrageous question was about drugs. Somebody had overdosed on drugs,
sure.
And Jimmy Carter knew exactly which drugs they were just by the size, shape, and color, and what they needed to do to get off the high that the drugs created.
And the point was that he was very good at micromanaging things, but he was not very good at actually running a White House, right? That was the ultimate dig on him. Yeah.
And that was right after he was in Playboy magazine. He was the interview for that particular month, and they asked him questions about that, and he talked about lust in his heart. And he mentioned, and this is such an obscure reference, but he mentioned that he had lusted after Phyllis Newman, who was, at the time, a singer that would show up on The Tonight Show once or twice a year. Okay. There's no reason in the world that you would pick Phyllis Newman to be the person you would mention you'd lust after. But Jimmy Carter goes, I've lusted after Phyllis Newman. It was just like the most outrageous thing to say. Perfect.
And then Gerald Ford was Chevy Chase,
right?
Just constantly bumbling and falling.
Craziest impression of a politician in Saturday Night Live history, because Chevy Chase didn't change his voice or his look or anything. Just made him trip on stuff.
And
that
he
was
tripped
it.
One time. Was it coming off of Air Force One?
Yeah.
And then that was one time. It's not like he always fell.
Except on SNL,
yes,
it was every
then
week.
Then it was every. Then all of a sudden,
like once a week.
He did. They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very strange.
But see, that's just the point. I mean, I'll be honest with you, and Bill, we've talked about this. I pretty much watched SNL since its inception.
Yeah.
A couple of seasons, I skipped a few episodes when Joe Piscopo was on. And they always mock the president. That's what they do. It's been mean and not funny lately to me. The last few episodes have just been intentionally slamming Donald Trump, which
the
I'm
Jeff
not
Sessions
saying,
ones too, or you know, Jeff Sessions trying to portray him as almost like a guy
house
with,
elf.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, not if it's mean and funny, I guess I'm okay with it, but it just hasn't delivered on the funny end of things. So then I watch it and go, I'm sick of Donald Trump stuff. What have you got? Last night there was a comedy, an SNL special, Christmas Years Past, and they had some of the greatest moments. And I mean, yes, there were funny political things, but the funniest moments were not political.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. Just be funny.
It has to be reflective of whatever, hopefully, if done right, of whatever is in the, you know, in the consciousness news. Of, yeah. So because everything is so politically heated right now, you if you don't address it, people go, wait, they're not talking about this? How could they not, you know? So you're
but
kind of
sketch,
in a,
update, another sketch. It's like, do something to know you're aware, to let us know you're aware of the news, but then make us laugh.
Yeah. Where are the game show parodies? We want more game show parodies.
I'm so with you.
More
the Jeopardy. Rapist for 30.
Yeah. Jeopardy.
That's what we're looking for.
Keenan is just built for that role.
Harvey. What's his name? Steve Harvey.
Oh, yeah, that's always fun.
Who's George Harvey? Because that's who I was going to say.
George Harvey.
This Steve Harvey is so funny.
I
love Keenan.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Ryan, thanks for hanging out. Greatly appreciated. We'll close things off next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. And that concludes another broadcast day. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciated. You're in tomorrow. You're not in Friday. Is that right? Am I hearing this right?
That is correct, sir.
A day of rest.
Are you in on Friday?
Oh, yeah.
Neither of us are in on Monday.
No.
And then next week, we're in every other day, and then the big radio play is happening.
Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be ready by about then.
You're working so hard on this.
Yes.
You're really putting a lot of effort into this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Thank God we have you, Bill Leff.
Yes. I'm a national treasure.
Tiny Bill.
Yeah, that's me. Don't want to say why. It's my business. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I don't know why you are, but you are, so we appreciate that greatly. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.